What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Checkout, a podcast that hopefully you're subscribed to already. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. Also, a syndicated radio program produced at your jazz public radio station, WBGO 88.3 FM in Newark. All of our shows archived on our website at checkoutjazz.org. I'm Simon Rettner. It's really easy to get excited about a young multi-instrumentalist, singer-songwriter coming from Brazil. His name is Pedro Martins. And on today's show, we're going to get to know the guitarist and vocalist, a fresh face on today's global jazz scene. Martins will tell us a little bit about his background. At the age of 26, he's already touring with the guitar great Kurt Rosenwinkel and even released his own album on the guitarist's hardcore record label called Vox. That's most of the music we're going to be hearing today. He'll tell us his story of being something of a child prodigy, remembering and dissecting a certain Beatles song by the age of 3. His parents encouraged him to practice on many different instruments. I think he was 7 when he was learning to actually make multi-track recordings of himself playing all of the instruments. And then by the time he turned 16, he was ready to release his first album as a band leader. And that was around the time when he met Rosenwinkel, who became somewhat of an obsession. He'll tell the story of hearing Rosenwinkel's experimental Brazilian project, Caipi, 10 years, in fact, before it was even released to the public. Stay with us on today's show as we get to know Pedro Martins on another edition of My Music on the Checkout. Thanks for checking in.
My name is Pedro Martins. I'm a musician, I'm a songwriter, guitar player, vocalist, and I live in Brazil. I'm from Brazil, and you're listening to My Music on Checkout. My oldest memory, music memory, is when my dad is a musician and he comes from a family of musicians, so there was always music in the house and the parties and stuff. And I have like blurry and dreamy memories of him studying and practicing guitar in front of a stereo system with a cassette tape going, and like listening to Brazilian choro music a lot, listening to pop music. Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? My first musical passion when I was 3 was the Beatles. I remember really well, like waking up in the morning and I had this compilation, 63 to 66, the red one. So I would put it on the stereo and jam with my plastic guitar and stuff. We can work it out. And this song totally like changed my life forever. Like I remember being really young and I don't know, like just analyzing it, like feeling how the vocal sounds and how the music, it's so beautiful and joyful and has that strong, you know, ray of light coming out of it. The D major. Don't see it my way. That's the thing, like for instance, like I don't have perfect pitch, but if I think about a song and I connect it to the song, I can hear it in my mind so I can get it, you know, because it's so true. The double tracking thing that Paul McCartney does, like singing the, you know, like doubling his vocal, this chorus modulated vocal thing, I don't know, just like moves me so much. And the B part that John wrote, life is very, I don't know, there was something that guided me, like, as a human being, as a musician, like. That was before I had my first guitar. I only had an acoustic guitar, and I know exactly when I had my first guitar because it's a luthier one that my dad asked the guy to build. It's small, and it has my name and a date, which is 98. I was 3. There's a song, specific song, my album called K7 Dreams, which is all about, like, my early experiments with sound recording. You know, I had a stereo system and I had cassette tapes because my dad used to mess with it all the time. So I kind of learned. So I discovered that there was a way of, first I just started, like, recording myself, and I have all these cassette tapes with messy guitars and vocals and stuff. And then I realized that there was a way to do copies of cassette tapes. So I realized that if I record something in one cassette tape, like an A, and as you copy into the B, if you play over it, it's like double tracking. So then I would do that and then do it again, and I could have like 20 layers of stuff. So I that was the coolest thing for me, and I was like doing that all day, and I had like all these vocal things, like a lot of, like, but all messy, you know, it sounds kind of funny. When I was around 7, 6, 7, 8, I had this neighbor, a friend of mine, has my also the same name as me, that we were having fun all day, like, with music and stuff. And we started, like, building our own stuff, like, on microphones. We would, like, turn a telephone apart and get the little speaker and get the cable, and, you know. And it was just fun, you know, just like messing with, open up keyboards and like changing and trying to make it sound weird and stuff. And this song is about that, K7 Dreams. I'm Pedro Martins. So we just heard K7 Dreams from my new album Vox. Vox is released by Hardcore Records. You're listening to my music on the checkout. My parents, they were always so supportive of me, but also in a sneaky way, because they weren't like, oh, I'm really cool, I'm gonna buy you a guitar so you can learn. They knew there was a natural interest in me. So my dad always says that they bought like a little guitar, they bought a keyboard, they bought a drum set, but they didn't came and say like, oh, this is for you and stuff. They just spread it in the house, you know, just left there so I could discover by myself and stuff. So I started playing pretty much drums, keyboards, and guitar at the same time. And I was always crying for my dad to buy me a bass, but he never wanted to buy me a bass before I reached a certain age because he said that it was too heavy and it was gonna my back. And bass came a little later. One day when I was around 6 or 7, my mom, okay, so she was getting a lot of complaints in my school that I couldn't concentrate and I couldn't, they were calling me hyperactive, right? I couldn't like stop and stuff. So they were like, yeah, you should like, it's a lot of energy, so you should take him to like a space for him to develop these other abilities that he has. So he can like, when he's in school, he can just like focus on the stuff. There was this school for special abilities or something like that in Brasilia. I remember the first day I was there feeling weird. I didn't know what I was doing there. It was a lot of kids there and stuff. And there was like painting classes, like music stuff. And I remember there was a piano in the corner, and I sat on the piano and I started playing this jam. That was my jam that time. I was the Stairway to Heaven, the progression. I was like, ugh. And I was doing this for a while. And then when I stopped, I realized there was a lot of people behind me, and they were like coming up to me and saying, wow, that was really beautiful. And that blew my mind because that never happened before. Like my house, my mom and my dad, they don't pray like, oh, really, really nice song. They wouldn't do that, you know? So that was the first time that I was like, well, that's interesting. When I was 16, I went to Rio, and there's a track on my album that it's my favorite track on my first album. It's called Dreaming High, Sonhando Alto in Portuguese. This record that I recorded when I was around 16, 17, my first songs that I wrote and stuff. And there was one track over there that it's called Trip to Rio, Viagem ao Rio, which is like a beginning of a lot of things for me, because this is when I met Daniel Santiago, which is a big mentor in my musical life, in my life in general. And he's actually responsible for everything that happened between me and Kurt Rosenwinkel too, because he is a huge Kurt Rosenwinkel fan, and he introduced his music. He played for me the demos that became Caipi 10 years after, you know. 10 years before, I got to hear the demos of it, because Kurt was in Rio and he just left some of these demos with some dudes, and he ended up in my hands through Daniel. And I just remembering like Kama, which is the first song that Kurt asked me to record, and that song changed my life, man. That song like opened a whole other thing for me, because I was already into Kurt's stuff, you know, like everything that he had recorded up to then. But then this demo track came along, and I was just listening to it every day, and I learned it, and I was playing with my friends in the clubs, and I don't know, it was just like, yes, I'm not even trying to explain why that demo is so important for my life. I started singing like on my record or on stage after I met Kurt. He was the one that encouraged me like the most. You should sing, you have a beautiful voice. Like, and I was like, ah, nah, come on, man. He's like, no, for real. And then he invited me to to singing his album. So I was like, well, maybe he really likes it. And then I became more confident to sing. But I was always singing for me, you know. I was always singing when I was alone in my house, you know, and stuff. I always had this shy thing about singing. I'm losing it little by little. For this record, Vox, the my latest, all the songs has a specific story and it means something related to something that happened. You know, it was some, like, for instance, like a lot of it I recorded, I wrote during my past relationship. A romantic Brazilian, man. I can't run away from that tag. And half of it was about that, you know, questions and fights. We were fighting to a point that there was nothing else to think or to do or to agree or to... It was just like, was so much things that we just got totally lost and stressed and depressed and the highest level of, of, you know, chaos. So I was alone, she left, and I was just like feeling so broken. And you know, when you spend like so much time fighting that your breathing is just like so short, so you can start feeling like numb. So I wrote this song. The second tune of my album, Faces, I wrote the song and the lyrics too. The first inspiration that came from for that song was this bus ride that I took, and there was this was a packed bus. I was standing, a lot of people, and this guy next to me was an old guy. He had such a expression in his face, like so tired and red eyes, and you could tell that he was like coming back from work or something really, you know, stressful. And I kept looking at him, and I don't know, it just communicated so much, and that generated a lot of thought in me. I'm always trying to read people's faces and trying to go beyond the words. That's the main thing for me, because I always think that the words, they are formed in this lower level of ways to communicate. Words are signals to translate something that it's so much bigger. And when you're a poet, maybe you're closer to that realm of realness. But it's still like, I feel like the eyes and the expression, the face, the smile in a certain time, it says so much more than words, you know, to understand people's feelings and to relate and to forgive and to connect. This song is about that. This song is about beyond words. Okay, so Horizonte is a song that I wrote also with Fernando Nitelli, and it's a song about this current dream that I have, which is almost like a vivid dream kind of vibe, which is like I'm kind of like flying over the water, and it's beautiful, like it's all yellow and red, like a kind of like a twilight vibe, and I'm flying towards the horizon, and I just feel like this really pleasant vibe, and the wind's kind of cold and pleasant, and then I started like going in the water and out and in the, and out, and then I start like spending more time in the pier that I'm in the water. It started getting longer and longer, and then I'm out, and then longer. At some point, like I'm so long inside the water that I feel I'm gonna draw and I feel I'm gonna die or something like that. But then, like in the very last like moment of desperation, I breathe the water, and I'm able to breathe inside the water, and that's the dream. I have this book that is called Illustrated Book of Mysteries, and it has all kinds of like things related, like mystic things, and there's this dream section, and I was going through it, and there was actually the picture of basically the picture of my dream, and with the horizon and all that. It doesn't have the water part, but it has something to do with like life and death and things beyond death, you know, like some kind of sense of life continues. And this is a simplification of what it actually is. Dreams are like poetry, you know. You gotta come up with what makes sense to you and what resonates in you and what you believe, and that's what it is in the end. So the song that we just heard is Horizonte. How it has all these facts about what I just said about my dreams and stuff. And the next song is Vida. There was always a question for me, you know. I was always too intrigued about the fact of life being this weird thing and then it ends and what happens. And there was always a question for me. This song, Vida, I wrote specifically about my struggle with dealing with skeptical people. Yeah. Every time I come across, every time I meet someone that has a lame-ass opinions about life and death and dust-to-dust kind of vibe, which is funny because it's a biblical reference, but skepticism always, like, annoys me. Having conversation with, like, friends, and then all of a sudden they express their opinion about what they believe life is, or what they believe God is, or whether it exists or not. And every time that I see myself in that position of having to defend my point of view, I get into that state of desperation. And it's also funny because it messes with my own sense of trust too, right? Usually I like being surrounded by people that believe in, you know, the invisible things, believe in magic, and if you tell them a story of something cool that happened to you because it's magical, they don't look at you and kind of give you that vibe of, like, forcing it to be something, but there's always a skeptical way of looking at things. I don't like that, you know? So that song is about that. And it's sad because this song came after a talk with my brother, which is, like, way bigger than that. We are talking about love and love, like, romantic relationships, you know. There's, like, dinner table in our house, and he's, like, really fit and big. He's just, like, judging all the couples around him and saying that everybody's full of everybody, like, they need, I don't know, just being judgmental about people, like, needing, you know, a lot of love and needing a partner and stuff. And he's like, and I was like, man, you full of and it escalated a lot. And but the fights are in a safe, loving, and awesome place, which, you know, I miss fighting with my brother. That's how it is. But then I went upstairs, which is my home studio, and then I wrote this song because it messes with me when I have to, like, talk about these things, as you can tell. There's a really magical thing about, like, being alive today, and people that are creative today, this, like, this desire of doing things and to accomplish a musical idea and concept. Tony Cat, and there's always Noah, Genevieve Lewis, there's a lot of artists that I admire a lot from my generation. And I feel like this thing, like, everything is already there, so you're just trying to, like, bring it down and present it, and sometimes it's connected. To the Gundam Cafe, gonna eat so much fish, I think I'm gonna be sick, gonna blow all my cash on anime. I remember that I was on YouTube one day, and I heard this song that Tony Cat wrote about Tokyo, and it was, like, exactly what was in my head, you know, and I'm like, I can't do it anymore. He already done it. And it's funny because I have never heard it before. I heard the song once, but I just know that it's, like, a kind of, like, a faster groove and major chords and kind of, like, you know, not much repetition. But I don't know, I just felt like it was funny that I kind of envisioned a song that already existed. And that happened sometimes with me. Musical deja vu. Yeah. And if you think that music comes from this place where it's our brain, which is, like, so much bigger than the three-dimensional world, which is, you know, basically time and space, like, our brain is able to connect with the fourth dimension where there's no time and there's no space, so everything already exists. So for us to be able to create, we gotta step, you know, higher and look at this place where everything's already there, so people meet in this place. My name is Pedro Martins. I want to thank Simon a lot for having me, and thank you for listening to my music on the checkout, and I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Thank Pedro Martins for dropping by to share his story and share the music from this vibrant and pretty brilliant second recording as a band leader, Vox, on Kurt Rosenwinkel's Hardcore music label. And definitely try to catch Pedro Martins on tour coming to the Moss Theater on the 14th and 15th, followed by a date at Eric Clapton's Crossroads in Dallas on the 21st. There he'll be with Kurt Rosenwinkel's Kaipe Band. And October 2nd, Pedro Martins brings Vox to Finland. And if you're hearing this show on the airwaves, you know you can get it as a podcast. Listen on your own time, anywhere, by subscribing. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. And if you do go to one of these platforms, give the show a review. A 5-star rating would be hugely appreciated. Follow us on social media, on our Facebook page, at Checkout Jazz is our Twitter handle, at Simon Rettner, that's me, on Instagram. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.